chapter 10. We're continuing our series we've called The New Mind. And just to kind of review, we've talked about God's plan for the new mind. We've talked about two ways to deal with the old mind and old thought patterns. And we said a few weeks ago that one of the ways to do that was what you put in it. And then last week we talked about one of the ways to deal with the old mind and old thinking is what you keep out of it. In other words, filter the information coming into your thought life and by considering the source of where it comes from. Now, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, we'll look at in a minute. I can remember, I guess it was maybe around 2004, I had the opportunity to go to Orlando, Florida, and to meet Bill Bright. You may not recognize his name. Bill Bright is said to have affected as many people for Christ, in other words, been responsible for influencing as many people to make a decision for Christ as Billy Graham has. He led Campus Crusade for Christ. He's gone on to heaven now. But at the time, he was leading Campus Crusade for Christ, which is the largest parachurch organization in the world. 29,000 staff and people all over the world. Anyway, I got a chance to go with a small group of pastors and have breakfast with them. And we got to tour Campus Crusade for Christ headquarters in Orlando. When we were touring, the interesting thing that I found is you have these two ginormous, beautiful, excellent buildings and facilities, and this you can just breathe, smell, drink, absorb vision into your bones as you walk through this. Then they take you to this little back room, which we later understood was Bill Bright's office, which is this humble, meager, little small room in the back of the building that you'd have to be looking for to find. And when we went in there, the tour host took us through and asked if we had any questions. And I saw a little just a little piece of wooden, looked like it had been hand-carved out of wood, little sign there on his desk. And it said, "I am not a grasshopper." And I said, I've got a question. What does that mean? I've never seen that anywhere. I'm not a grasshopper. And she said, "Yeah, what happens is Dr. Bright took that from the story of the 12 spies that went into the land and came back with a report. And the Bible says that when they looked at the giants in their own eyes, they saw themselves as grasshoppers." And so Bill Bright just wanted to remind himself that no matter what happened, no matter what circumstances came against him, that he needed to see himself from God's point of view, not from human's point of view, and that in God's mind, he was not a grasshopper. And so he put that little thing on his desk. "I am not a grasshopper." And I think that that's a very important picture of what he did and what we have to do in our own life. We have to readjust our thinking so that our thoughts would not be our thoughts, but our thoughts would be God's thoughts. See, what happens oftentimes is we see ourselves wrong because we think wrong. And we see the world around us wrong because we think wrong. So this morning I want to talk about how to deal with those negative thoughts that are buried deep into our minds. Thoughts like, "I'm a failure, I can't do anything right, I don't have any friends, people always disappoint me, people will always hurt you," I've heard people say. "Things never work out for me. Good things always happen to other people, but they never happen to me. If God was good, this wouldn't be happening to me." Here's what happens in the mind. Satan tempts us to embrace thinking, now watch this, that's attractive to us. Satan will hand make thinking that is attractive specifically to you. And he will bait you with it to get you to take the bait because there is a hook in it. And that thinking is attractive to us, and he lures us in with it to try to get us to accept some other kind of thinking that we think will be a better alternative than the way that God thinks. Now imagine this is how it happened with Adam and Eve. They believed that they would be like God if they bit the fruit. So Satan put bait out there that was attractive to them. "Oh, I mean, it's just you two humans walking around on earth. The only other person here is God. He's up here, you're down here. Hey, if you eat this, you'll be like him." He tempted them with the only thing they didn't have. And the only thing they didn't have is they weren't like God. They weren't God. It's all he had. And they took it. And so what happens is that kind of thinking comes through the channel of our culture or of our family or of our personal experiences. Now, every culture of the world passes on wrong beliefs or wrong thinking, and the enemy will use that thinking that is familiar to that culture to trap people into thinking like the world rather than thinking like God. So, for example, you go over into certain parts of the world, and you might have people that are starving to death, and the reason they're starving to death is because they believe that their reincarnated relatives come back as animals and they shouldn't eat the animals. Well, that's self-destructive. But think about the American culture. In the American culture, we've been taught through marketing and religion that God's plan is to make me healthy, wealthy, and wise. And if you don't have health, wealth, and wisdom, then God must not love you. Now think about what damage that does. Think about how that causes us to see ourselves not how God sees us. So those things come through culture, they come through our family. You take a person whose dad was an alcoholic and whose granddad was an alcoholic, and now they think this has been passed down to me. What belief must be being passed on? Belief, wrong thinking is being passed on. And then experiences. I remember I had two or three men in a small discipleship group several years ago, and I can remember in the middle of this group there was a guy that was kind of a self-made guy. And I can remember him looking at me on some certain topic, and he said, well, that's the kind of person he started the sentence this way. I've always been the kind of person that blah, 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 blah. And I can remember that going over me like ice water and thinking, well, that's... And I looked at him and said, you know what? Maybe God doesn't want you to be the kind of person you've always been. Maybe God wants you to be somebody else. Everything you've inherited from culture, everything you've inherited from family, and everything you've inherited from experiences is not all good. And it's not all God. And it's not all correct thinking. And so the only place to get that's the scripture. So then we passively allow the wrong thoughts in our mind, or we never discipline ourselves to put the right thoughts in our mind. And once those thoughts have been planted into the long-term memory, remember last week we talked about the 48-hour memory in the front where things can be rejected, and then the long-term memory that all thoughts sink into after that. Once they sink into the long-term memory, they never go away. So how do we deal? Here's what I want to talk to you about today. How do we deal with negative thoughts? How do we deal with negative thought patterns? How do we deal with negative ways of thinking that have come to us either from culture or family or experience or whatever? How do we deal with them? Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 10, 3 through 5. I'm going to give you one of the most dynamic, powerful scriptures in the entire Bible on this subject, and it will become a powerful tool and weapon in your hands if you can receive it and you can practice it. 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5. For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. Okay, there's a battle going on, but we can't fight the way that we've been taught to fight. We can't win this battle the way we win other battles. So the kind of person I've always been isn't going to work here. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. So not only do we have to have a different strategy, we have different tools or weapons. On the contrary, they have divine power. God has given you and I weapons that have supernatural and divine power in order to demolish the strongholds. Look at verse 5. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. So think about this verse just for a minute. Verse 5 in particular. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. So what happens is the enemy will take the thought patterns that were put in you, either when you were young or when you were weak or when you had a painful experience or some dysfunction in your family, or some wrong, sinful voice coming from our culture. He will take those voices and He will do everything He can to build, like a lawyer, a courtroom lawyer. He will call God's Word. He will call the knowledge of God onto the stand, and He will argue with it and debate it, and He will build a case against it inside you using your memories, using your thoughts, using your experiences, using what you've believed to be true, using things that you were handed maybe when you were young, maybe experiences that wrongly taught you. He will use all those things to call God a liar, to accuse, to tear down, He will try to strengthen that knowledge base in you so that it might condemn and argue and defeat the knowledge of God in your life. So, what do you do? Oftentimes those things are put inside you and I when we are young and naive and unaware. We've not been equipped. We're not mature in Christ. We've not grown in our faith. And they are laced in there. And oftentimes in a believer's life, they will struggle for years and go, I'm saved. I'm a Christian. I go to church. Every time the offering passes, I give. Why do I still struggle with this thought pattern? Why do I still struggle with this? Let me give you three things to do. Number one, identify the negative thought or thought pattern. Identify it. Sometimes certain ways of thinking have been inside us so long, and they've been reinforced by our emotions. They've been reinforced by our memories. The pictures that are in our mind seem to say that they are true. Our interpretation of life's events, that they're buried so deeply in all of that, we don't even recognize them. We've never separated them from our thought stream long enough to know that they're even inside of us. And we're almost cynically sometimes sitting back and waiting for the next experience in life to come along and confirm that our wrong belief is true. See, everything went fine for a little while, but I knew ultimately before it was over, everything was going to go bad again, because that's just how things go for me. Right? We cynically sit back and wait for our wrong belief to be confirmed. And if you're looking for your wrong belief to be confirmed, I promise you it will. I guarantee it. You will interpret some experience in some way that you'll find an interpretation to bend to it. Or you'll sabotage yourself and make it seem true. Either way, if that's what you're looking for, that's what you'll find. On top of that, the mind is a very busy place. Did you know that you and I have on average 30,000 thoughts a day? And I just said identify one. 30,000 thoughts a day. That makes me tired. 30,000 thoughts a day. No wonder you feel like you've been running the treadmill when you get in bed at night. Identifying can be a challenge, but here's how you identify. We have to learn God's thoughts. And then we compare His thoughts to our thoughts. And all of our thoughts that don't line up with His thoughts have to be dealt with. The best way I know to do that is for us to look in the places of what I call internal conflict. It usually comes in the form of an emotion. You feel some strain, you feel some stress, you feel some internal conflict inside of you. And too often when we feel those emotional times of conflict, we try to fix the emotion. We try to solve the emotion. We try to cure. Well, I'm not feeling too good today. Well, pep up. Pep up. Make yourself feel better. Well, I'm mad. Well, don't be mad. What? Right? And we try to fix things on an emotional level, which is a shallow level, and we never get down to the root of it, which is in our thinking. Emotions aren't meant to be fixed. They're meant to be felt. And if you try to fix them, I guarantee you, you're going to drown in quicksand. Dr. Carolina Leaf, who I've mentioned a few times in this series, wrote a book called Who Switched Off My Brain? She says that all emotions only have two sources: fear or faith. All emotions either come from fear or they come from faith. So if you begin to identify the source of all emotions as fear-based or faith-based, it helps break them down to a thought level. Why am I angry? Why am I depressed? Why do I feel this way? Why am I worried? Ask yourself when you feel something, is it coming from faith or is it coming from fear? We usually experience that internal conflict for only one or two reasons. Either wrong thoughts are raising themselves up against the knowledge of God in you. Satan is trying to build a case against God inside you, and God's word is there and it's causing a conflict. Or the Holy Spirit is using God's word to build a case against the wrong thought patterns that are in you, and it feels like conflict. And so I'm saying the way to begin to identify where are those places in my life of negative thought patterns or negative thoughts that need to be dealt with, look for the place of internal conflict. James says an undivided man is unstable in all his ways. Where are you divided? Where are you at conflict? Where are you sensing that tension, that tear between two ways? I guarantee you if you look there, there's wrong thinking that's been identified, that's been planted. So identify the thought. Here's the second thing. Reject the thought. Identify the thought and reject the thought. Once you find it, you have the authority, 2 Corinthians chapter 10 through 5, you have the authority to reject or accept the thought. You are not a victim of your mind. You are not a victim of your thought life. You don't have to think anything that comes in your mind. You can't control everything that comes in your mind, but you can control whether it stays or not. Everybody has, you know, everybody's been sideswiped by a thought. Everybody's got stuff jamming in there, circulating bizarre things. You're laying there where you go, where did that come from? Everybody has that. You're not going to be able to control all that, but what you can control is whether it stays or not. See, God didn't create you so that you could live your life walking around with thoughts that disagree with His plan for your life. God has a plan for your mind, and it's that His thoughts would be your thoughts. And you don't have to believe anything about your life that God doesn't believe about your life. You have the authority to reject that or to accept it. The thought is usually introduced through the emotion, and then it enters the mind, and then God has given me the authority to accept it or reject it. Recently, I was feeling some heavy anxiety about something, and I can just remember. You know, do you ever try to solve problems and your mind feels like a broken record? You just go over it and over it and over it and over it, and about the fifth lap, you go, I'm tired. I don't feel like I know anymore. Nothing's happening. Nothing's working. And I can remember going through that and feeling this anxiety and go, wait. Is this pressure I feel from faith or is it from fear? And once I identified that it was from fear, I said, you know what? I reject that. I don't have to think that. I don't have to receive that. I don't have to accept that. I reject it. I reject that thought. I reject what's driving this in my life. Verse 5 says, we demolish. Man, he wasn't playing, was he? He wasn't trying to use kindergarten language. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. When I realize that my thoughts do not agree with God's thoughts, God has given me the authority to take those thoughts captive, to imprison them and bring them into obedience to Christ. Let me show you how I picture this. It's like a bizarre thing. You ever seen on TV those little shadow person, a little silhouette person, just like a little outliner person? I just imagine those thoughts running loose in your mind like a little shadow person. God's giving you the authority to reach in there, grab that little guy, pull him out, and just pretend that you're standing in waist-deep water, to hold him up underneath that water until he stops moving, stops breathing, and drowns. Did I say something about bizarre thoughts? And the way I picture it is, the water is prayer. And enemy, if you're going to attack me, if you're going to lace in my mind, if you're going to lace in my family, if you're going to lace in my history, if you're going to lace in my experiences, thoughts that call God's word into question, then I'm going to use the weapons and the tools God's given me, and I'm going to take that thought and I'm going to imprison it and I'm going to suffocate it to death. Why? Because God gave you the authority to do it. You have the God-given authority not to just run crazy and think whatever everybody tells you to think. You have the authority to grab that thing, to hold it up underneath prayer until it dies. Take it captive and bring it into obedience. Make that thought submit and obey. Now, that's kind of the easier part. Around 20 years ago when I found this verse, and it became a powerful guiding scripture for my life. It told me that God gave me the power to control my thought life. That through God I can control what I think and what I don't think. But my newfound enthusiasm was quickly squashed when I prayed it, and then those thoughts jumped right back on me. You ever done that? All right, God, I know, I figured it out. This is not a God thought. This is not from God. This is contrary to God's plan and will. I figured it, I know that. Now, what do I do? I'm going to take that thought captive, I'm going to make it obey, and you know what? The second I turn away, it jumps back on me. When you were a kid, did you ever have one of those punching bags that were weighted on the bottom, and you'd hit it, and you wouldn't even turn around, it'd hit you in the back? Pung. That's the way those old thought patterns are. That's the way those thoughts that have moved from the 48-hour brain into the long-term memory do. Those that have been inside you a long time, that's how they do. You hit them and they'll bounce right back because they're weighted on the bottom, because they've been there for a while, because they've got territory, they've got turf, they've got patterns, they've got roots inside your mind. And it doesn't take long to discover that this scripture is not a silver bullet and it's not a magic pill. Sometimes when you take a thought captive, it's gone immediately. You know what that tells you? It hadn't been there long. Other times, a thought, you take it captive and it comes back and it comes back and it comes back and it lingers and it lingers and it just seems to nag on. But it's like cutting out cancer. The toxic thought has to be removed. It has been there for a while. It's not just going to jump out because you say, boo. It's spread and infected other parts of your life. Here's what it reminds me of. This is kind of an older example, but many of you will remember this. Do you remember when everybody first got on the internet and the big service that got you there was America Online? Remember that? Anybody remember America Online? Remember that? You hear bing, 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 bing. You know, it was dialing up. Remember that? You remember that? I hear you. I hear you. You're there now. You ever try to have that disconnected? You ever call the operator and say, I'd like to disconnect my service with America Online? They say, oh, that's incredible. We're so glad that you called. We're so glad that you finally got through 29 phone prompts to a human. What seems to be the problem? Well, you know, I just don't want it anymore. It costs a little too much. Oh, that's no problem. We'll just lower the price. We'll lower it $2. No, I really want to disconnect it. I understand completely. What if we were to give you a free month? No, well, then the next month I can't afford it. I don't want it. I want to disconnect it. I completely understand. I'm disconnected now. But what if we gave you 2 free months? No, see, I don't want it. I understand, I agree, and I feel the same way that you do, and I would do exactly what you're doing. What if we gave you 3 free months? Okay. I don't want it. I understand. I'm disconnecting it now. Let me just give you a short exit exam. Do you ever find yourself in need of information that you can't get laying around the house? Yes. Did you know that America Online has tabs that we can give you? And you go through this thing, and finally, when I'm on the phone, I said, I'm saved, but I ain't that saved. And I'm going to tell you, I want it off. And I'm not going to answer any questions, and I'm not going to talk to anybody else, and I don't want the thing free for 6 years. I want it off. Do you understand? Off. Don't call my house. Take my number off your database. Don't ever mail me a free disc in the mail again. I don't want to ever see or hear from America Online again. I want it off. Do you understand? I completely understand what you're saying. What if we gave you 6 months free? No. I want it off. Turn it off now. I understand. So here's what you finally do. I'm hanging up. If you charge me, I'll never pay another bill and you can sue me. Bye. Told you I'm not that saved. Do you know that's how dealing with your thought life is? You have to take those thoughts captive, and then you have to do it again, and 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 you have to do it again, until you convince them that God's, the knowledge of God is going to rule your mind and your life and your spirit. You have to do it and do it and do it and do it because you are trying to retrain your mind. You are trying to convince those deceitful and destructive thoughts that they have no place in your life. And sometimes it takes a while for them to get the message that you are rejecting them. But you have to make rejection clear. What are we doing? We're retraining the mind. It's like a river. We're cutting a new path. It takes time to establish a new path in a new way, like making a new river. There's barriers that have to be knocked down and new paths that have to be established. It's like running a marathon without training your body. You can't run a marathon without training your body. But if you train your body will change. And then you can run the marathon. That's how your mind is. Your mind can adjust to thinking new thoughts and to be the person God's called you to be. But your mind has to be renewed. You have to stop being bullied by those thoughts that the enemy has placed in there and life is placed in there and pain is placed in there. And you have to say, my mind will be ruled by the knowledge of God. And let me tell you what this battle feels like. In the heat of the battle, it always feels like you're losing. It feels like you're losing. How many times will I have to do this? 101, 102. How many times will I have to do this? But let me tell you, there's only one time God's child ever loses, and that's when they quit. If you don't quit, you cannot lose, regardless of how you feel. Identify the thought, reject the thought. Here's the last one. Replace the thought. Replace it. There's an interesting story that comes from the mission field. The natives in New Guinea, before missionaries came there, the natives had a custom of ritual songs and dances. They would work themselves up into a frenzy, and the ritual would culminate into what's called murder songs. And as they would dance around the fire at night in a tribal custom with the drums beating in the back, they would yell out the name of the people from the other tribe that they wanted to murder. Called murder songs. And they would dance around the fire and yell out, we want to murder this person. They would yell their name out, murder this person. It's called murder songs. And when the missionaries came and many of the natives became Christians, listen to this. One of the most powerful stories I've ever heard in my life of a mind being renewed. They kept the ritual. And they would dance around the fire at night. The drums are beating and the native dance is going on. And they would dance around and they kept the ritual, they kept the murder songs. But now instead of calling out the names of the people that they wanted to kill when they would dance around those fires at night, they would call out the names of the sins that they wanted God to kill in them. Whew. You talk about a renewed mind. Man, the weapons of our warfare are mighty. They are divine. They are able to demolish. Their thinking had been taken captive and brought into obedience to Christ. So there's basically, if you think about it like this, there's two ways. If you get something stuck in your eye, there's two ways to get it out. Try to pick it out with something, or try to flush it out by overwhelming it with liquid. Identify, reject, replace. Some thought patterns in your life and mine have to be overwhelmed and flushed out. They have to be overwhelmed. They have to be buried. Overwhelm it. How can you overwhelm it? Find scriptures that reveal God's plan, His thoughts, His will in the area that you are struggling, in the thoughts that you recognize are in disagreement with God. The thoughts that you find are in disagreement with His Word and His plan. Identify those thoughts in your mind and then find scriptures that talk about them. And take that scripture and drink it into your spirit as deep as you can. Put it on your refrigerator. Put it in your car. Put it on your phone. Put it on your computer. Put it on your screensaver. Memorize it. Quote it. Talk about it. Say it. Speak it. Receive it. Accept it. And then I think worship. Man, another way to wash your mind out is put on worship music. When you drive in the car, we live in an area of the country where we commute a lot. The people in our county, the average commute's far. Take that time, put in worship music, man, and renew your mind, renew your mind, renew your mind. Flush it out, overwhelm it, wash it out, wash those thoughts out. I can remember when I first became a believer, I can remember feeling convicted. You ever misinterpret what God says? I remember feeling convicted that the only kind of music that a Christian ought to listen to is worship music. Praise and worship music. Nothing else. No Beach Boys. Nothing. Not 50s. Not whoopity-doo. Nothing. Nothing. Worship. And every Christian ought to feel that way. What I didn't understand was that what the Holy Spirit was doing to me was moving me through a process of detoxification. And it was a season where my mind was renewed and overwhelmed and flushed a lot of the junk that was in me out. And I'm just saying there might be seasons of your life that are intense enough that you say, I got to shut everything else off. Because I got to get this stuff flushed out. I got to get it out. I can't live like this. I can't live with these thoughts dominating me. Quote God's promises. He who began a good work in you will finish it. All things work together for the good of those that love God and are called according to His purposes. Man, quote His promises. Quote His commands. Take the prayers in Scripture and read the prayers that are in Scripture. Read Psalm 23. Read the Lord's Prayer. Paul, the apostle, has four prayers that he prayed over the churches in the New Testament, in Ephesians and Galatians. Read those prayers. And another way that I did is thank God for what He's done. You want to change your mind? Get it off what the enemy's trying to put it on and start thanking God for what He's done. Thank Him. Man, your mind will shift. Your mind will change. I'm going to ask the worship team to come now. And as they're coming, here's how I want to move to prayer this morning. At seasons like these, you know, it's winter. We just lost an hour. I don't ever think we gained an hour of daylight. I think we lost an hour. That's how it feels to me. When it gets dark before you eat dinner, it's something it ought not to be. You know what I mean? And it gets cold, and it gets rainy, and it gets funky, and it gets cloudy, and it gets gray, and it gets, you know, and I got the holidays, and I'm tired, and we're burnt out, and I'm ready for school to break, and I'm sick of this, and I'm sick of that, and we're burnt, and I just need a break. Okay, exhale. All that. Do you know what can happen? You can even come into this place, and you can slip into a Sunday funk. You can just get in there and go, oh, it's another Sunday. You can do it Monday, too. Another Monday. Man, what if it wasn't another Monday? What if it was, this is the day that the Lord has made and I will rejoice and be glad in it? What if it was that Monday? What if this was the Sunday when you staked a claim in your brain that Satan wasn't going to have territory that you've given him for too long and a new thought pattern was going to start to be trenched in your mind? What if this was that Sunday? Here's what I want to do. I want to show you how you use these tools. I want to show you how. We're going to pray. And when we pray, here's what I want you to do. I want you to either thank God, or I want you to quote one of the promises of God that is meaningful to you now. Or I want you to worship. And here's what I want you to do. And this is going to happen. This will happen. For some of you, many of you, maybe most of us, a thought's going to pop in your mind that is contrary or negative or comes into disagreement with God. Because that's what the Bible tells us happens. And when it does, as you're sitting there, you don't have to be loud. You don't have to be weird. You can just say, you know what? In Jesus' name, I take that thought captive and I bring it into obedience to Christ. Watch this. The atmosphere of this room is about to shift. I guarantee it. You are going to feel the presence and the power of God. You are going to feel the work of the Holy Spirit doing Romans 12, 1 and 2, renewing you from within by a new way of thinking. And I want you to feel this, and I want you to see it, and I want you to experience, because I want you to know when you leave, God has given you divine authority to do it on your own. You don't have to be victim or subject to whatever it is the enemy's put in your mind. You don't have to think anything that God hadn't told you to think. You can think what God says. Now, would you just stand with me? Just stand with me. And here's what I want you to do. If it's a whisper, or if it has any tone to it, it's okay. But what I want you to begin to do is I want you to begin to thank God for what He's done in your life, or quote a promise, or I want you to begin to worship. The worship team will go ahead and start to sing in a minute. If any thoughts come against your mind, I want you to take them captive and say, I don't receive that. I reject that thought. I bring that thought into captivity to Christ. And I promise you, watch this. It'll be like a wind swept over this place. And that's the authority that you have as a believer in Christ. Lord, this morning I thank you. I thank you because your word is true. I thank you because your promises are right. Come on, just begin to thank him. Just begin to thank him. Lord, I thank you today. I thank you that you are the Alpha and the Omega. You're the beginning and the end. Lord, you know the beginning from the end. Your promises are true. Your word is right. Everything that we need to live a godly life in Christ Jesus, we have already received. And I thank you for that gift in Jesus. Lord, I thank you for the shed blood of Christ this morning. I thank you for forgiveness. Lord, I thank you for freedom. I thank you for peace. God, I thank you for wholeness. Lord, I thank you that you have a plan for our life that's a good plan. Lord, I thank you that you are a good God. You have good, you've never had an evil thought toward us. Lord, I thank you for the promises of God that your word says are yes and amen. Lord, I thank you that you don't have a destructive thought toward us. But Lord, you have thoughts to build us, to strengthen us, to make us whole, to make us strong, to make us mature. Lord, I thank you today for forgiveness. Every evil thing I've ever thought, every evil thing I've ever done has been forgiven. Come on, just thank him. Come on, just thank him. Lord, I thank you today. And I worship you, Lord. I praise you. I magnify you, God. I magnify you, Lord. I glorify you today. Lord, I thank you that all your promises are true. Even when I don't feel like they're true, even when I don't feel good, even when I don't feel spiritual, even when I don't feel right, even when it looks like things aren't working out, I praise you today that all things work together for the good of those that love God and are called according to your purpose. Lord, I receive in my mind today your thoughts. Come on, worship team, just begin to sing.